KPCW News Time now, 8:12. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. Joining me now on the phone, Summit County Council Member Roger Armstrong. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Let's see, a report yesterday from David Yore, the county's representative on the board of the Weber Basin Water District, basically indicating we are faced with water difficulties. You raised the question of what we can do for further conservation and promoting xeriscaping. I mean, can we get anything further from the state legislature on this?
I don't know. Well, I think we're going to have to, and I think that's what Dave indicated we should probably start having conversations with. You know, some of the challenges that we have in a county like Summit, where we've got, you know, a number of municipalities, some larger like Park City, where culinary water is particularly critical and important. We also have an east side that has a lot of agricultural operations, and the state government tends to be very, very restrictive in terms of what we can do to regulate things. I don't know whether we're able to put in place water conservation measures that may be more and more restrictive, as we've seen in other parts of the country, if we do reach a critical drought stage. So I think we need to explore that to see if there are impediments that would restrict us from being able to do what we need to do. And if there are, we need to loosen that up a bit. Dave mentioned that he's on a committee with the state government that's looking at drought issues right now. So I think they're taking it seriously. It was, you know, I asked the question somewhat facetiously, do we have enough water? And his response was quite seriously, actually, we don't. Echo right now has no water left in it that's available to the Weber Basin Water District at this point. And we need about 2 to 3 years of just normal snowfall in order to replenish our aquifers and our reservoirs to make sure we have enough water. So based on what we've seen with climate change, with the heat that we've had the last few years, it's heading toward a critical stage, I think. And all of us, whether we're, you know, working for the government or individuals, we have to be mindful of our water use and start regulating ourselves.
The council held the first of two public hearings with regard to next year's budget. The only comment you heard was from Charlie Sturgis with Mountain Trails Foundation, who thinks that the $100,000 in transit room tax could be better used than just a study of the rail trail. You have raised the same point, so I'm guessing you were glad or perhaps even nudged Charlie to be there.
Yeah, I think that the rail trail is a good venture for us to propose, particularly as it relates to North Summit County. There are ways that I think we all believe the rail trail could be managed that would help with economic development, help create a better sense of community, help build some bridges between and among communities. I'm just not sure that we need to allocate $100,000 toward a study at this point. I don't think we've cooked it enough. And in particular, and Charlie, I actually said to Charlie, I want you to verify you and I haven't had a conversation before this, because earlier I spoke to Kim. I think we need to get some community consensus in the North Summit area as to what they would like to see. I don't want to get too far down the road on studies and doing other things if we don't have buy-in from the community and a sense of some sort of vision as to what they would like to see programmed there.
Other items with regard to the budget, do you favor another planner for community development?
Through the truth and taxation process last year and enacted the tax increase for the first time in 30 years, we knew that we needed more bodies in certain areas.
Oh, looks like we lost him. We've been talking with Summit County Council Member Roger Armstrong. Hey, KPCW News Time, 8:18 now. Good morning. Well, tonight, thousands of dollars will be handed out to area nonprofits as part of the annual Epic Promise Foundation Grants Program. In the studio with details, I have the COO of Park City Mountain Resort, Bill Rock. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. So you have told me, I think, before that this is one of your favorite nights of the year.
Yeah, this is great. This is a chance for us to award our Epic Promise grants to our nonprofits here in town. And it's a private reception. People don't know exactly what they got. Our grant committee is really happy, too, and proud of being able to support the community this way. And you said thousands of dollars, but tonight we'll be giving out well over $3 million, $3.1 million of cash and in-kind to 36 nonprofits here in Park City.
Okay. as it basically all parts of Summit County is what we're talking
about? Yeah, it's a lot of them are Park City based, but you're right. Summit County, Heber City, some of the nonprofits that do work in the general area. Folks like Children's Justice Center, PC Tots, Park City Community Foundation are some of the nonprofits that we support in a big way.
Okay. I think even KPCW?
KPCW, of course. Yeah, we're happy to.
All right. So how are these grants awarded? I mean, it's a committee, you said.
Yeah, this is really the great thing. And this is something our employees are very passionate about. We have a local giving council, which is made up of, 20 or 30 local employees, management, frontline staff, who have background in nonprofits. They volunteer, they have deep insight, perhaps they serve on boards. And so we review every single grant application in that group. We make all the decisions here locally, and that's how we decide who we're going to support and how much.
Okay. And the money comes from where?
So this is our Epic Promise Foundation. So this is company sponsored. Across the company, we give over $11.4 million to 250 organizations. So it is company wide, and it's great that we can focus those resources here locally in Park City.
So it's done at all Vail Mountain Resorts? Is that
we do? Yeah, in all of our mountain communities, we do similar things. Not maybe the levels are different, but certainly we're very engaged in our communities and support the nonprofit work that's going on.
Yeah. So again, I mean, a percentage of the company's profits then are dedicated toward the foundation.
Yeah. So we have a mechanism to fund to fund this, and it comes through the way the company performs. It goes into a funding mechanism, and then we decide how much we can give away every year.
Okay. What else do you want people to know about the grants?
Well, I want I'm really appreciative of all the work the nonprofits do in town. I mean, it's just so fun to be part of it, and it is my favorite night of the year to be able to do this. It's just it's such a pleasure. I also want to say thanks to our employees for getting us off to just an amazing start to the season. We're opening new terrain every single day, and our employees are working really hard. And so I hope, if you haven't skied yet, I hope you get out there.
Yeah. What does the employee situation look like for you for the rest of the year?
You know, it's like every season, it becomes challenging, especially with a great economy and low unemployment. But I feel really good about our employee situation. I feel like we're in a little better shape than we have been in years past. And our employees are really happy and engaged right now and having a great time. They're getting to ski a little bit, and they're also working very hard to make sure our guests have an amazing time.
Yeah. I mean, you've got a big mountain to run.
Yeah,
I mean, and it takes a lot of people to make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, this is a people business. I mean, it's 7,300 acres over 40 lifts. It's the biggest mountain in the United States. And it does take a lot of people. And the good news is a lot of people come back year over year because they like working for the company. They like serving our guests. They love living in Park City. And so, we have a lot of people, and it's a big effort to get staffed and trained. And we do a great job.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about a lift opening, I mean, do you need more than four people to run a lift?
It depends. It depends on the lift, where it is, and what type of guests ride that lift. Also, just to get the terrain open requires grooming and snowmaking and patrol and others to make sure it's ready for our guests. And so it's a big undertaking.
Yeah. As opposed to like opening a lodge, which takes hundreds of employees. Yeah.
Yeah. So lodges, of course. And we're excited to really showcase our new capital improvements that we did at Mid Mountain Lodge and Cloud Dine. And so when we open those here, hopefully in the next week or so, you guys will see what our employees have been working on.
Yeah. So the gondola is going to open then the next week or so?
Yeah, I think stay tuned. Obviously it's very fluid. Great snow, good snowmaking temperatures. I just talked to one of our snowmaking managers this morning. They're so proud of what they're doing. They're moving fast and making a lot of snow. It looks like the Quicksilver Gondola will open on Saturday, which will make the connection. And as you know, the skiing is just vast. I just saw on the report today we're opening Blue Slip Bowl today. And so, McConkie's got open, 90s open. There's some really great skiing out there right now.
Okay. Do you still need to make snow?
Yeah. it's funny. And every year you kind of make about the same amount of snow. It just depends on how fast you can do it and how fast you can get the terrain open. But usually because of the long season that we have and the great product that we offer to our guests, we have a huge commitment to snowmaking. We make snow. And so we're long and deep and have a great season.
Okay. Any update on the ski patrol negotiations?
We're bargaining in good faith with the patrol. And I think we've... the issues that they brought up, specifically retention, we're really proud of. There's an 80% retention rate in our patrol, and we've improved that 40% over the last 4 years. So we're bargaining in good faith, and so are they. And I think I'm excited to get a contract and get moving forward.
Okay. Gonna guess on that by the end of the year? Is that your goal?
It's hard to say. You know, we're both at the table talking still, and I think that's good. We're listening and negotiating in good faith, and hopefully we'll get a deal.
Yeah, but because what happens is that life now gets in the way, right? With the as things keep opening, there's fewer and fewer opportunities to negotiate. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, they have a bargaining committee, and so do we, and so they've assigned people to that. And so I think both sides are committed to, you know, continuing the dialogue and making sure that we're listening and getting things done.
Okay. Bill, awesome. Anything else?
No, great. Come out and ski, everybody. It's amazing out there.
All right. Bill Rock, COO of Park City Mountain. Thanks for your time.
All right. Thanks, Leslie.
It's 8:25 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. It's the KPCW Local News Hour. Well, Park City's second resort, Deer Valley, opening on Saturday. In the studio with details, I have the resort's new president and COO, Todd Schelling. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. This is the first time we've had you on air, but you've been with the resort now what?
Two and a half months,
yeah. Well, why don't you just tell us a little bit about first about yourself, why you wanted the job?
Great. So, well, also thank you for having me. You know, I wanted the job when it came available, really because Deer Valley is the hospitality expert in my mind in the ski business. I've stayed here before. I've skied here before as a guest. And that experience that I had was top-notch. And it's what I'm used to experiencing in the 4 and 5-star hotels and resorts that I've worked at throughout my career. So pretty exciting opportunity.
Yeah. Again, your most recent job was what, in San Diego? I mean, so you're kind of changing the coastline for Snowy Mountains?
No, there were two jobs in between that. So I was in San Diego for 10 years. I was running a place called the Hotel Del Coronado. After that, for 4 years, I was in London, and I was working for one of the owners of Altera, which is our parent company at Deer Valley, and that's KSL Capital Partners, and I was overseeing about 55 hotels that we had throughout Europe, asset management and helping out with the ownership of those. And then last year, I was in Austin, Texas. I was working for a company called iFly Indoor Skydiving. There is one in Ogden, if anybody's ever heard of that. And I was the chief operating officer there for about a year.
Okay. Because I remember hearing that. I was like, what does a guy know about running fly centers, know about running a ski resort? But it's...
I didn't know anything about running fly centers. But what I did know is a consumer business. And that's really what iFly is. There's a big technology part because they build and maintain and operate wind tunnels around the world. And in fact, the founder is a part-time resident here of Park City over at the Canyons. And he came up with a concept that was really making skydiving safe, or at least safer, because you're not really jumping out of a plane now, and that makes it a lot easier. But that consumer business and trying to get guest service increased and repeat business increased and so on and so forth, that was really the connection to what I had. Plus, it was also owned by the same parent company, and it was logical. They had some need in executive turnover, and that was why I was there. But, you know, coming here, it's a similar thing. We are a consumer business. We are all about guest service, and we happen to be doing it on a mountain. And, I've said this to a variety of employee groups in the hotel. I am not Bob Wheaton. Bob Wheaton is a legend, and Bob has done amazing things at Deer Valley. But if you ask Bob, he'll tell you that his focus has been on the mountain, and he's put together a tremendous team. I think, you know, probably best in the industry, certainly in what I've seen and what I've heard. And, they don't need a lot of help. But where Bob hasn't spent most of his time is in hospitality and in food and beverage and other areas, which is where, you know, my background is. So really just a little bit of a different focus, but it's all about the people and the team that we have and just, you know, pushing and driving to excel and continue to improve in our customer service experiences.
Yeah. So the official transition happens January 1?
January 4.
So at this point, you're...
It's really happened.
Yeah.
I mean, Bob, about 3 weeks into our transition, Bob and I both realized that it was probably time to just say, okay, you know, Todd's in charge now and I'm here as a resource. And that's what he's been. He's been a terrific resource for me and for the team. And, you know, we spend a couple hours together every day. This afternoon, we're going out on the mountain and spend 3 hours with our director of mountain operations, Steve Graff. And just, you know, a lot of it is showing me, you know, what to look for in opening the mountain and making sure that we are good to go for Saturday. But it's been pretty much advisory since that first 3 weeks, and then and so, you know, I'm signing the checks these days, I guess.
Yeah. Well, so Utah snow gods are happy, I guess, about the transition. I mean, you're real lucky in terms of.
Well, I'm taking credit for it, actually. The guy, bring the beach guy in and you get some snow. But no, we're really excited. We've had maybe not as much snow as they have over in the Cottonwood Canyons, but, you know, I think we've had up on the top of the mountain somewhere 3.5 feet of snow since the Thanksgiving holiday. So it's been great.
Yeah. So what are you ready to open with?
We're going to open with 16 lifts and around 50 runs. I challenged Steve to get over 50, but we should be somewhere in there. So we'll be certainly everything out of Snow Park will be open. Mountaineer and Jordanelle Lift will be open. Some of the runs over off of Jordanelle won't be open, but we will have everything coming into Mountaineer and Deer Crest and Deer Hollow open. Everything off of Snow Park should be open. We might not have Champions open. We are still looking to prep that for the World Championships. And then when you come up the mountain, Flagstaff, just about everything is open on that with the exception of Mayflower. But Wasatch will be open, and we'll have most of the terrain open there. And then everything over on North Side will be open as well. So we'll open Empire in about a week.
So is snowmaking done for the season?
No. I heard Bill's comments, and, you know, it's similar comments. You know, you have the opportunity to make as much snow as you can. The weather's been great, and it's really all about laying a base now for, you know, for the rest of the year. The other technical part is you can't put snowmakers on the entire mountain at one time. There's just not enough water to support that. So you have to move things around in a logical thing. And that's where we're making snow now, is in some, like, over, we're moving over to Empire over the weekend to make sure there's a perfect base for when we open that area. So we'll continue making snow as long as we need to, and until Mother Nature puts enough on us that we don't need to.
All right. Something new this year, and unlike, I think, the last 20 years or so, is the gone is the Celebrity Ski Fest. But you're opening with a new event, Shred for Red. Any other changes under your leadership, or was that decision made before you got
No, that decision was made long before I got here. I think they did that in the spring, actually. And, you know, I think that's a great opportunity to do something for the community. And Dr. Nguyen, who's been our, you know, medical director, I think, since we've opened, that's a cause that's near and dear to his heart. It's something that he was pushing, I understand, with the team, and they thought it was a great idea. So it's the first time, and we're going to open that at the same time as we open the mountain. So we're excited about doing something with that.
Okay. Of course, Deer Valley, one of the venues for the World Championships happening late or early February, I guess. Is that something that Deer Valley will continue to do under the new ownership, continue to host World Cup freestyle events?
Yes.
Is that
definitely
your niche, you think?
Yeah, I think it is a niche, and I know that you know, the U.S. Ski and Snowboard team loves having that venue available for them, not only just to practice, but to be a home course for them as well. And, you know, as everybody knows, the Olympic movement for 2030 is strong, and we're in there as well, with some technical alpine events. So we'd love to be able to do giant slalom and slalom as well as the other events. We're not even sure if some of the events that we have today will be in those Olympics, but we've said we're happy to host those. So I don't see any change with that over the next few years.
All right. So in terms of anything new at the resort this year, I mean, lots of times we hear from Bob, you know, well, it was all underground. So,
you know, the biggest new this year is we replaced the homestake lift with a detachable quad. And I think, you know, from what I've seen and what I've been told, is that was a bit of a bottleneck. And, you know, increasing the capacity and the speed of that will greatly help get that bottleneck out at Silver Lake. That was the biggest, and it's a $4.5 million investment. We, you know, underground, Bob's right, we did a lot of underground. We did a lot of snowmaking. We've increased our snowmaking capacity. We, you know, Deer Valley was one of the first places to put snowmaking in. And so now the result of that is our pipe system is somewhere in, you know, the 30-year-old range. So we're systematically replacing pipe. And unfortunately, it's not something the guests will ever see, but they will see the white stuff afterwards. And we need that pipe to be able to do that. Those are the biggest changes this year, other than, you know, of course, the Icon Pass being the competitor to Vail Resorts Epic Pass. And it's been really successful. with Deer Valley, we have a reservations process in progress. So we know and will know how many Icon Pass holders are coming, and we're really excited about it because we think it's an opportunity for us at Deer Valley.
Yeah. So with your background in hospitality, what changes should we look forward to in the coming years?
You know, I think I'm going to focus on our lodges. You know, we haven't spent a lot of time and effort and money since they were built on the lodges, and I think there's a lot of opportunity to offer additional guest services, additional retail, additional food and beverage, activation in the outdoor areas. So I think, you know, we're going to spend this year with some designers and architects and do a bunch of planning on that, and then I think what you'll see in 2020 is some investment in both Silver Lake and in Snow Park, in the lodges, and just the overall customer experience and how do we upgrade that and modernize it. I think the other piece is we will be going to the RFID gate system next season, and that will be that's a big investment, but that I think is going to really help the guest experience because you don't have to go to the ticket window. You know, there's just so many good things that come about that.
Yeah, that's a huge capital expenditure, though, right? Because you've got so many access points.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we have at least 18 lifts that we need to put some type of electronic access management to, and you know the other ones are the smaller lifts down at Snow Park where there's ski, you know, just the ski instructors and the schools, and you can't get anywhere. If you want to ride that all day long without a ticket. We'll eventually figure that out, but you can't. There's no access anywhere else. You can only come back down to that.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going
to
do.
Anything else you wanted to mention?
No, I'm just really excited to be here in Park City. My wife and I have moved I was in Austin commuting back and forth to San Francisco, which is our permanent home. So my wife's here with me, and our kids will come and visit. They're grown, but they're out and about, and it's been a great welcoming for everybody, and I really appreciate that. So excited to be here.
All right. Well, welcome to Park City.
Thank you.
Congratulations on the job. That's Todd Shallon. You're listening to the Local News Hour on KPCW. It's time now, 8:38. Good morning. Well, the Egyptian Theater presenting the production of James and the Giant Peach. It opens Friday night. They'll be doing a special school program just a little bit here today. In the studio with details, I have a couple of the actors, Anston Riley and Sophie Dildy, along with the production's director, Missy Hilton. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Missy, let's just start with you. This is something new for you?
It is, yes, directing the youth theater. I had been working, teaching classes and things with Jamie Wilcox, and said, hey, you want to take a shot? And I said, sure. And it's totally my jam. These kids are so fun and funny and talented. And it's my right age group. So it's fun.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, so what's your experience in directing a theater production?
Well, I worked with the local Giving a Bleep for 5 years, doing all that, the script and the music production, and then teaching theater and just a variety of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
So proud of what you've accomplished here?
Yeah, mostly proud of what the kids have accomplished. They are hilarious. I can't even tell you how funny they are.
Okay, so this is James and the Giant Peach. It's based on that beloved Roald Dahl book. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about the plot?
Sure. James is a boy whose parents meet an untimely demise. And he is visited by Lotta Lord, a sort of magical creature, which I think is meant to be an iteration of Roald Dahl.
Yeah.
And gives James a bag of magical things that get sucked into the ground, grow a giant peach, and then we're off on a big adventure.
Okay, so introduce yourself here and your character.
Well, Sponge is one of the ants, and she's not the best ant you would ever meet, but she has a big appetite for basically every single cuisine. And including spiders, but her sister is Spiker, and they decide when the peach grows, they want to sell it, and Sponge is clumsy and sort of like, yeah, she's a klutz, basically, but yeah, she's...
Okay, and Aniston, as you mentioned, playing Spiker. Tell me a little bit about that character.
Spiker is the brains of the operation. She always has the ideas and what's what, and Sponge just kind of follows along. She doesn't really like much, but she does like her sister. Just shows it in a funny way.
Okay, so how many kids do you have participating?
I think the total number of cast is 23. And then we also have, like the Egyptian always does, a student tech crew who, along with the professionals of Hiram and Peter, the light and sound guys, they participate in backstage deck crew, lights, projections, and stuff like that. So I don't know. I think there's six of them. So like around 30. It's a good size of kids and a variety from a variety of different schools, and so yeah.
Yeah, so Sophie and Anastasia, I mean, are you part of the youth theater program?
Yes.
No, this is my first time because my mom heard about the Egyptian theater. She's like, you should totally do a play there. So I haven't done anything here. So it's the first time, and I love it.
Okay, so I mean, is it something you might stay involved with then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You got the acting bug. Mm-hmm. Is what they call it, yeah. And how about you? You've been...
Actually, I've been doing some of their programs a little bit, but this is my first play here, and I love it so much. It's awesome, yeah.
Okay, so as I mentioned, you've got school performances today. Mm-hmm. What, just do you invite Summit County schools to come watch?
Yep, just I'm not exactly sure who's who or what's what or when's when, but yeah, so two different performances today. They're coming, and then... I think you mentioned tomorrow night we've got Friday at 7, Saturday at 2 and 7, and then Sunday there's also a matinee at 2.
Okay. So I think that's a first, the Sunday matinee.
I think that is a first, and I think it's selling really well. In fact, all of the shows are selling well, so if you want to come, and I encourage you to come, bring your kids, come with groups of friends. It's a quick show. It's about 65 or 70 minutes, so there's no intermission, but it's wintry on Main Street, and it's December and Christmas time. It's a fun activity.
Yeah, and I think maybe that's why you added the Sunday show, because they always sell out.
Yeah.
Tickets are hard to get. Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else you wanted to add about your performances?
Well, it's going to be super funny, so you should totally come, because it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Well, good luck to both of you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank
you as well.
Thanks, Leslie.
Again, parkcityshows.com is the place where you can find out more information or contact the box office. You're listening to the Local News Hour here on KPCW. KPCW News Time now, 8:47. Good morning, I'm Leslie Thatcher. Joining me now in the studio, I have Park City High School senior Ben Agnew, along with Park City High School athletic director Jamie Sheets. They are helping to coordinate the Christmas meals. Thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
So, Ben, this is, I believe, the second year of the program this is being done?
Yeah, second year that we're doing it through the high school and our Especially for Athletes program. So, yeah, we're excited to do it again this year.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about the genesis of it. Were you involved last year in the inaugural year?
Yeah, so 2 years ago, just my family, we delivered some meals during Christmas to a few families. I think we did like two or three meals. And then we just wanted to do more. So last year we kind of made it a service project through a group called Especially for Athletes at our school, which is just a group of athletes. We meet Wednesday mornings and go over leadership values and just kind of stuff that we can take back to our individual teams at the high school. So one of the things we wanted to do last year was make a service project, and this was a great thing for us to do. So last year was our first year, and this year we're doing it again.
Yeah, so are all sports, boys and girls, involved?
Yeah, so I think every sport has a representative that goes to the meetings, and so we have different leaders helping us with the project this year from every sport, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, and do you see good participation then from all of the athletes on all of the teams?
Yeah, we do.
And what do they do specifically?
So we have different roles as far as this project goes. So a few kids are helping me with fundraising, and then some other kids are helping me with kind of getting the word out and making flyers and stuff like that. And then the NHS group at the high school, we have a few kids that are in both, Especially for Athletes and the NHS. So they also do a food drive around this time of year, so they're also helping me along with George Murphy at the high school, who's the boys golf and girls golf coach, so they kind of help get the word out too. And then all of their members kind of join and help out with our project as well. So that's great.
Okay, NHS, National Honor Society.
Right, National Honor
okay.
Society.
So how is it that you find the families that you're helping out with meals?
Right, so last year we kind of just said, go to these places and hand out the meals to whoever wants them. And this year we're going to be a little bit more organized with it. We're just Operation Hope through the Christian Center is a kind of a toy drive where a lot of families come and can pick up toys for their families. So this year some volunteers are going to be there from our group, and they're going to have a sign up where you can sign up to receive the meals. And so hopefully that will give us a better idea of who needs the meals. And then with the leftover meals, we'll kind of do what we did last year and just go hand them out to who needs them.
Okay. So we've got the grocery stores involved as well?
Yeah. So Fresh Market out the Jeremy Ranch exit, they've helped us. They helped us last year, and then they helped us again this year. So they're great in helping us. And yeah, we really appreciate them.
So what does a holiday meal consist of?
Right. So we have a turkey, potatoes, a pie, rolls, and vegetables.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And when are these delivered then?
So we're delivering them Saturday the 22nd. So just Saturday before Christmas is when we'll be assembling the meals and delivering them.
All right. So do you also go out and buy food with cash donations? Is that?
Yeah. So you can donate through the Christian Center. So we have a tab on there. It's under donation specification. It's Christmas dinners. So that's how we get all of our donations to buy the food. So that was a huge key last year, was getting all the donations. And then this year, since we're doing more meals, we're looking for any sponsors, local companies that would like to sponsor. We're looking for that too. So any way that we can get the donations is appreciated.
Okay. So if somebody hears this, how can they?
So you can email me. It's BenJAgnew, A-G-N-E-W, at gmail.com. That's the easiest way we can start talking about a sponsorship or something like that. So that would be huge for us.
Okay. And then in terms of the goal, how many families do you hope to serve?
So our primary goal this year is 500 in Park City. So last year we did about 425 meals. So 500 this year, and then if we can get the donations, we'd like to do another 350 to the Heber and Midway area if we could. That might be something down the road for next year, but if we have the donations, then we'll definitely do it this year.
Okay, so the program lives on even though you'll be graduated?
Yeah, hopefully through Jamie and the
Well, you got a little brother coming up.
That's true. Yeah, my brother's a freshman, so he'll be in charge next year, so that'd be fun.
All right, so are you the staff member then, kind of overseeing this, Jamie?
Yeah, and anybody who wants to. We did it last year, I think it was probably the 23rd, and this year will be on that Saturday the 22nd. We essentially set up the commons area cafeteria in the school with tables, and all the food gets brought in, and it's essentially set out for pretty much an assembly line. As people go through, the volunteers go through, we put holiday music on the speakers in the school, and we got hot chocolate. It's a very festive. We had not just student athletes. We really promoted out to any student at the school, but we also had parents. We had friends of parents that were in town for the holiday that came in as well and helped out. And it was a really neat experience for the first year doing it on that scale. It was amazing to see how many kids showed up. I thought more would be out of town or more would be sleeping in, but they just kept coming, and it went really fast.
Yes. So when is that happening then, that Saturday morning?
Yep, Saturday 22nd. I think we're looking at 9 a.m., 9:30-ish.
Yeah, 9:30.
We'll probably start staging a little bit before that, but then people will come in to start helping assemble around 9:30.
Okay, and then again, so you'll have 500 bags of turkeys plus, and then how does that get? Do people come there to pick it up, or do you go out and actually deliver it?
Yeah, so we have U-Hauls that we put the food back in. So we have to pick it up at Fresh Market, bring it to the high school where we have it all set up to assemble, and then we'll send it back out to, I think we have 6 apartment complexes where we'll be sending the food this year. So once we get to the apartment complexes, then we'll just load it out, and then that's where our volunteers will go out and deliver.
Food Brigade, yeah. Just kind of handing the bags over. And,
exactly.
Yeah, oh, awesome. Anything else you want to tell us about the project? People, again, want to interested in donating, they could go to the Christian Center website and look for the Christmas dinner tab.
Right, yeah, and if you're interested in volunteering, we do have a website where you can volunteer and donate, so that's parkcitymeals.com. Yeah, like Jamie said, it doesn't matter if you're a student-athlete at the high school or even a student, if you just want an opportunity to serve during the holiday season, sign up. We have 200 volunteer slots available, so those are filling up. So we hope to fill those up. Again, parkcitymeals.com, and we appreciate all volunteers and donations. So,
okay,
thank
you. Great job on that. Jamie, let me, while I've got you in here, just ask you a little bit about some of the proposed changes with regard to the athletic teams. You were telling me off air that a decision will be finalized today by the Utah High School Activities Association?
Yes, the Board of Trustees with the UHSA will finalize the 2019-2021 alignment today. It's an ongoing process. I was on the original realignment committee last year. We met four times to discuss procedures and protocols and then pass that on to the BOT, which then looks at essentially the numbers, puts it all together, and makes the final decisions. So for that, in that first consideration that was put out a few weeks back in November, we were listed in the top of 4A as what's called a bubble school, meaning we were within 5% of the top school that was listed in 4A, which was Stansberry. We've had quite a bit of success at the high school with the extracurricular programs. I think everybody pretty much knows that. And it was... It was about time to have the conversation to look at the opportunity to maybe move up a class, maybe cut some travel down a little bit, keep some kids in class longer, get them home earlier. So I brought that back to Mr. Arbabi, our new principal, and I said, you know, can we talk about this? So we sat down as admin, discussed the pros and cons of what that would mean if we asked to go 5A, because as a bubble school, we were asked to declare right after Thanksgiving what our preference would be for class, and we're allowed to make that preference. We can't say we want to be in this region or that region, but we can say what class we'd be in. So we quickly had a meeting the week before Thanksgiving during two lunches with the students. Asked them their opinions. I showed them a few scenarios of what that might look like. I think Ben was part of that. That same night, then we had a meeting with the parents as well to kind of discuss the scenarios. And it was, I'm not going to say it was unanimous, but it was pretty close heavily to say, no, we want to go 5A. And 5A really, the teams in 5A, you're looking far south Provo, Payson is possibly the farthest south. And then you're looking at North Ogden and Box Elder is technically the farthest north 5A team, so that's really not North Ogden, but they're kind of the outlier. So you're really looking at a much tighter area for 5A. Our teams pretty much already play all those 5A teams in non-region schedules. They feel they can compete with them. The students felt very positive about making the jump. So at the second consideration meeting, I presented and said our preference is to go 5A. We were then assigned to... on the second consideration, Region 6, which included Brighton, Cottonwood, Hillcrest, Olympus, Skyline, and us. And so we were happy with that, very happy with that, and think we fit in with that region very well. We think we, you know, demographically match up with the East Bench of Salt Lake pretty well. And, you know, a lot of our parents work down in Salt Lake. A lot of our kids have friends on those schools. So last night there was a public hearing that everybody else gets to then, you know, either complain or say, we like this. I attended that meeting and got up and said, we really like where we're at. We feel that's where we belong as a 5A team. So the BOT will meet again this morning, and they will make final determinations on class and region. So we should know. I mean, there's a chance we might be Region 5, which would be Woods Cross, Viewmont, Bountiful, Bonneville, and Box Elder. So there's a chance they may move us that way. I'm hoping. I think our preference, where we think we belong, is that Region 6 with those schools that I first mentioned. I think that would be ideal. The average travel for us on that Region 6 would be about 32 miles, which would essentially cut our travel right now by two-thirds, I believe. So the kids can miss a lot less school. They can get home a little bit earlier. In addition to the competition, that's the biggest thing. They did not... neither the kids nor the parents shied away from a little bit better competition.
Hmm. So that would move us from Region 10, and then we're currently a 4A?
Correct.
And is it the higher the number then, the more, is it based on population?
Yes. So the initial, so what they do is the way 6A, 5A, and 4A are determined is by the senior junior populations. They put those two numbers together. And remember, you're going off of a previous number. So the kids that are seniors this year, they're getting counted, but they're going to be gone during the next alignment. But yeah, it's primarily by enrollment.
Okay. When do you expect to hear a decision?
It could be, they're supposed to meet at 9, so it could be as soon as 9:30. It could be as late as 5 o'clock. It just depends on how heated it gets in there. Sometimes it can get a lot of discussion.
Okay. Well, let us. Are you going down for the vote?
No, that's a closed meeting, so we'll just all wait for it to be published.
Okay. Well, let us know how it turns out. Again, good work, Ben. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's Ben Agnew and Jamie Sheets with Park City High School.